And of course, trust me, children were not finding it hard to sleep that night before the first Christmas. But that first Christmas was not without its own signs and signals, though, was it? Absolutely true. If you've spent any time in God's Word, then you know that that's the case. Many Hebrew prophets had predicted that the Messiah was coming. And they were very specific in their predictions. That He would be born of a virgin. We sang about some of this tonight. Born of a virgin. Born in a little town of Bethlehem. The prophet Isaiah, he wrote this, if I can just read it to you. 700 years before it happened, he wrote, "Therefore the Lord will give Himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call Him Emmanuel." The prophet Micah, hundreds of years before, he wrote this, "But as for you, Bethlehem of Ephrathah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you one will go forth for me to be ruler in Israel. His goings forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity." There were absolutely signs, signals that the Messiah was coming. But on that first Christmas, when Jesus was born, it was pretty much business as usual. Pretty much. And as some of you might be aware, things were pretty bleak for the Jews at that point in history. They were horrible. I mean, first of all, there had been this icy silence from heaven. It had been 400 years since there had even been a single prophet to speak for God. There had been no miracles performed. There had been no angelic appearances. And if that wasn't bad enough, they're under the tyranny of Rome, right? The promised land was filled with foreign invaders. Things were very, very dark. And I think we get a really good understanding of that dark time and the soon arrival of Jesus in Luke chapter 1, right at the end of the chapter, in the prophetic words of John the Baptist's dad, Zacharias, who hadn't been talking a whole lot, if you know the story, and the Lord had opened his mouth, and this is what he said. "Because of God's tender mercy, the morning light from heaven is about to break, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide us to the path of peace." Guys, just like any sunrise, there was preceded by a long darkness. And that's what the Jews were living in. But for those few faithful, those who were looking for the coming Messiah, there were bright flashes of light that were starting to appear. They could see that dawn was about to break. The sun was about to rise. And of course, we all know, the angels were fairly busy at this point, right? The angels were getting busy for what was going to be happening. We know that the angel Gabriel appears to Zacharias and he appears to Mary. Another angel appeared to Joseph, relaying the message that Mary was pregnant, supernaturally conceived in her womb with the Son of God. And of course, we all know the rest of the story, right? Mary and Joseph arrive in Bethlehem, but they're turned away by the innkeeper at the inn because there was no room. And because of that, God in human form, as He came to us, was born in a place where animals live, in a stable. The Messiah had come. But so many people missed it. So many people never even noticed. The innkeeper didn't notice. The people in Bethlehem didn't notice. The Jews largely didn't notice. Believe me, nobody in Rome was paying any attention. But there were a handful of people who got it. They were ready. And while Christmas largely went unnoticed back then, it would be incredibly difficult to miss the Christmas of today, wouldn't it? We all see those signs. So, considering the fact that the Lord's appearance, His first appearance on this planet, went largely unnoticed, there is something that I want us all to consider this Christmas Eve. Jesus Christ is coming back to this earth again, guys. He's coming back. Yes, he came once before, but he is coming again. And the Bible is emphatic about this. And just as there were prophecies pointing to his first coming in explicit, exacting detail, there are many prophecies that speak of his return to the earth again. Guys, we have never been closer to his return than we are right now, this evening. And this Christmas Eve, I think a good question for us to consider is this. Have we done more to prepare for the celebration of a past event than we have for the future one? Is that true for you? Because guys, let me tell you, the stakes for this next appearance of Jesus Christ are much higher. Some of us, I think, are much better, know more about preparing for Christmas than we do about preparing for the return of that same Savior, of that same Lord. And so tonight, I want us to take a few moments to just consider what we should be doing. I mean, on Christmas Eve, we think back to when he first came. But I think it's entirely appropriate that we also look forward to when he comes again. Then what should we be doing? If so many missed it the first time, I don't know about you, but I don't want to be one who misses it the second time. So what should we be doing? Well, guys, the first thing is this. We should be watching for him. We should be watching for him. Listen to what Hebrews chapter 9. Verse 28 says about this. For Christ will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. And Jesus himself in Luke 21, verse 28, he said this about his return to this world. Now when these things begin to happen, look up. Lift up your head, because your redemption draws near. Guys, that's watching, right? That's being aware. And you can see here that watching is a very real evidence of our faith. If you truly believe that he is coming, then it will be the most natural thing in the world for you to watch for what you know is coming. You know, in Matthew chapter 25, Jesus was telling a story. He loved to tell stories, parables as we call them. And he was telling a story, sharing with his disciples about his second coming. And he told them this story to illustrate the truth that at the time when he returns, among his own people, amongst his church, that they would basically fall into two groups. Those who are wise and those who are foolish. And you know what the deciding difference was between the wise and the foolish? The wise were watching, waiting for his return. The foolish were not. Now, I know we don't like to consider ourselves foolish. We probably don't like to think of ourselves as wise either, if we're going to be terribly humble and things. But the reality is, if we are watching for the return of Jesus Christ, we are among the wise, according to Jesus Christ. Which group would you say that you belong to this Christmas Eve? The second thing that we should be doing, we should not only be watching for his return, but guys, we should be ready to go. Are you ready to go? How many of you are ready to go? Good. We should be ready. You see, unlike the Lord's first visit to this earth, this time, he's going to be taking people back with him. You could be one of those people. You know? And that's the reality of what we see in Scripture. So we need to be ready to go at a moment's notice. And being ready for his return, guys, does not merely mean that you aren't surprised by it. It also means living your life in such a way that you will not be ashamed of whatever it is you're doing when he returns. And I know that sounds a little bit ominous, but I think it's realistic for us to consider that as Christians. In fact, that is exactly the point that the Apostle John makes in 1 John chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. Listen to what he says. Dear friends, we are already God's children, But he has not yet shown us what we will be like when Christ appears. But we do know that we will be like him. For we will see him as he really is. And all who have this eager expectation will keep themselves pure, just as he is pure. You see, I think John would agree that we should be asking ourselves the question from time to time. This place that I'm about to go to, this thing that I'm about to do, these words that I'm about to speak, would I be ashamed or embarrassed to be doing such a thing when the heavens open and Jesus Christ returns again? I can guarantee you guys, there are things in my life that if I ask that question, that shines a pretty stark light on what I've been doing. And the question is, should I be doing it? If we would be ashamed or embarrassed of those things when Christ returned, the simple answer is don't do it. Yes? John says live pure in light of the fact that he is coming again. Thirdly, not only should we be watching for his return, not only should we be ready to go, but we should anxiously be awaiting his return. Have you ever anxiously awaited somebody's arrival? Have you? You know what I'm talking about, right? You keep peeking out the window, you know, seeing if the car got there. And then when they got there, you run to the door and you open it before they even knock, right? That's anxiously awaiting. Do you remember that anxious expectation of Christmas? How many of you are anxiously excited about tomorrow morning? Some of you are standing to raise your hand. Yes. My daughter Kyla is. She was the one standing. Right now she's sitting in her pew and she's going like this. Have you ever had your kids do that, right? About Christmas morning? Because she's so excited about it. We all remember that feeling, right? Well, guys, that's how it's supposed to be when we think of Christ's return. I mean, for Christmas, we can't sleep, we can't wait, we're excited for it to come, but then we talk about the Lord's return, and it's like, oh yeah, that'll happen eventually. You know, in my opinion, our priorities are a little out of whack, if that's the case. In fact, you know what? This was true of a few, even when Jesus came the first time. Now, it's true, most people didn't even pay attention. But in Luke, you know, we read about one such man who did know and who was excited about the Lord's return. His name was Simeon. Perhaps you remember him. Luke describes him this way in Luke chapter 2, verse 25. At that time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout and was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. I love that. Those words right there, eagerly waiting, can basically be translated this way. Okay? That's really, honestly, that's basically what that means. And that was true of Simeon. It was so real to him. He believed it so strongly that he was anxiously waiting for it. And guys, that should still be true of us today. Could it be said of you this Christmas Eve that you're eagerly, anxiously waiting for your Messiah, for your Savior to come and rescue you? You know, when I was a kid, I used to hear Christians shout all the time, Maranatha. You guys know that word? Can any of you tell me what it means? That's right. Come, Lord. Come, Lord, soon. That is a shout of excitement. You know, it's not, if he wants to come back, that's cool. No, it's an excitement that just bubbles up and it just comes out, Maranatha. And guys, we should be looking forward to the return of Jesus with that same anxious excitement. Finally, not only should we be watching, not only should we be ready, not only should we be anxiously waiting, But guys, we should be working. We should be working. If watching is the evidence of our faith, then working is the evidence of that faith in action. Do you know what I mean by working? I'm not talking about your day job. You probably figured that out. That's not what I'm referring to here. You see, watching for Christ's return will help us prepare our own lives. If we are anxiously waiting, we're going to look inward, aren't we? We're going to examine ourselves. But working will assure that we bring others with us when He comes again. That's the sort of work that I'm talking about. Guys, can you imagine if those angels that we just got done singing about, those angels that I read about to begin our service, can you imagine if they held their tongues? Can you imagine if they chose to be silent about the coming of the Messiah? Can you imagine if those prophets, guys like Isaiah and Micah, said, "Yeah, I don't think I'm really in the mood to write today. I'm not going to write down these prophecies I've been given from the Lord about the coming Messiah." Can you imagine if they were silent about those things? How would we, even today, know the beautiful truth of Christmas and the Lord's sacrifice for our sins if they had not done the work that God had called them to do? The same is still true today. For those of us who belong to Jesus, we have all been called to do the work of a messenger. By the way, that's what the word angel means. We've been called to be that as well. Just as those angels announced it to the shepherds, we have been called to announce this to the world. The work of announcing the life-changing truth that we celebrate this time of the year and all year round. Let me put this as clearly as I can put it, and I do so at great risk because it condemns me when I say it. Okay? If we truly believe that Jesus arrived the first time in a manger in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, and if we truly believe that He is returning again, but this time not as a baby meek and mild, but as a judge to rule the world, then doesn't it make sense that we would want everyone to know about that? Absolutely. To escape that judgment. If the world is in darkness and we are in the light, how can we hide it from them? As the Apostle Paul makes very clear in Ephesians chapter 5, he says, "For once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of light. For this light within you produces only what is good and right and true. This is why it is said, 'Awake, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will give you light.' So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. And make the most of every opportunity to shine the light in these evil days." This is what we are called to, guys. On this Christmas Eve, I guess the question that I'm really posing that we should all be asking ourselves is, am I ready? Am I ready? Are you ready for the Lord's second visit to this planet? It is awesome that we gather together to worship because of that first visit. But are our lives being transformed because of the one that is yet to come? Are we being compelled to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with those who are in darkness because we so strongly believe that He is coming again? Most people missed it the first time around. The sad reality is, guys, that there will be many who miss it the second time around as well. Let's not miss it when He comes again. Let's be watching. Let's be ready to go. Let's be anxiously waiting. And let's be working. Doing that work of a messenger. And guys, this evening, as we close to symbolize that light coming into our dark world and the spreading of that light from person to person throughout this world. We are going to symbolically spread the flame of Jesus Christ through this room. I know it's a pretty traditional thing, right? You have Christmas Eve services and they are supposed to have candles. And we got a few. Hey, we even got battery-operated ones. But we just didn't want the place to burn down. But that's tradition. But guys, the lighting of the candles has a purpose. It has a meaning. It's symbolic. And the symbolism of it is the spreading of that light through this world. If you belong to Jesus Christ tonight, you have received that light. Amen? You have it. Because Jesus came that first time. Don't just keep it to yourself. And so tonight, as we continue to worship, as we continue to celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ together, and as your candle is lit by the person next to you, turn and light the candle of the person on the other side. Okay? As we share that light of Jesus Christ.